this time on February 23rd, 2015, I'd like to call our city council meeting to order. We're glad that our citizens are here. We appreciate you being here. And as we go through our agenda, if you'd like to speak, you can certainly do that. Just come to the podium and we'd like for you to keep your thoughts, your comments, to no more than 5 minutes, if you will. And by the way, since I said that, we have something new up in the corner for everybody. It's a 5 minute clock. How about that? Most cities have something like this, and we decided that we need it also. And I'll read a couple of comments that I wrote down in just a minute, and about that. Matter of fact, I'll do that right now. City Council guidelines for City Council meetings. Now, this is very preliminary, and many council members have not even had anything to do with this yet as far as putting anything on paper. I put some thoughts together this weekend, and so it's a work in progress. But I thought we would at least use the main points, perhaps, in some way. So let me read what I have. For years now, as we've begun our city council meetings, I have been announcing that those present may speak about any item on the agenda. But please hold your comments to 3 to 5 minutes. The purpose of this is not only to allow the opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council to do so, but to allow enough time to say what they need to say within the five-minute time period. In council's opinion, that should be enough time in most cases if the speaker has prepared their statement before coming to the podium. Also, we ask that you please address your comments to the council members. In my view, in most cases, this has been done. However, in recent years, there have been more occasions where speakers have taken advantage and spoken much more than 5 minutes. As a result, council has agreed to have a five-minute clock installed to let the speakers know when they are approaching the five-minute limit. If council has questions of the speakers, then Sarah Rideout will stop and restart the clock as needed. We know there will be times when speakers need more than 5 minutes for such as a special presentation, proclamations, staff reports to council, etc., etc. Also in recent years, and as recent as our last city council meeting, we've had more people who have spoken out and or yelled in loud voices, and also there have been occasional clapping and booing in council meetings. As a result of these interruptions and distractions, council has agreed that we will not accept this kind of attendee response in the future. If necessary, those who do this will be asked to leave or be escorted out of the building. Note there will be obvious times when clapping is appropriate, such as special presentations, special guests, etc., etc. Please note that council does not want to make it difficult for speakers. We certainly don't. We want everyone, and we always have wanted everyone to speak if they desire. Instead, we want to make it easier and have a more pleasant council meeting experience for all who attend. It is not right for some citizens to disrupt a meeting when other citizens are polite and acting as they should. So council is asking that you please be respectful of all of our citizens in the council chamber, treating them as you would like to be treated yourself. The city of Aiken is known as a character city, and we are all need to act accordingly. Now, again, obviously, this is a work in progress. There are many more things that need to be put in here and maybe taken out and what have you, where we finally get it down to what we want. We have what we call welcome to your Aiken City Council meeting. We've had it for years. It's out of date. The picture's up to date now, but the wording needs to be changed a little bit. And so we'll be proceeding to work on this over this next week. And I don't want you to think that it's because you're here that I decided to do this, that we decided to do this. Council decided some time ago that it was needed to be done. It just so happens that this audience tonight is the first one hearing it. But y'all have behaved so well so far. Don't let us down. No, just kidding about that. So there are some thoughts, and again, we'll be working on this as the time goes by.
I just add, Mayor, thank you for saying that. And as you know, you have my full support in those comments. I think, speaking maybe only for myself, I agree with you, and I'm grateful to you for taking the lead on that. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that. I think that it's a long time coming. I should have done a better job on this some time ago. But now's the time, and we're going to do the best we can to keep things in order and not let them get out. You know, it's so hard though when somebody all of a sudden stands up in a council meeting because they're agitated about something, and we've had several of them recently on some of the major issues that we've had, like the big bike lane. They stand up all of a sudden and start saying something. And, you know, it depends on whether council, as we talk about this more, wants to say, well, okay, we're going to give you a warning, and if you do that again, please leave the chambers. Or do we say, okay, enough's enough already. Please leave the chambers. So there are a lot of little things that we've got to tweak until we get, I think, what we really are looking for here. But at least there's some thoughts as we get going. Okay, at this time we'll have an invocation and pledge of allegiance to the flag. Most gracious and sovereign God, we humbly come into your presence this evening with praise, gratitude, and love in our hearts for who you are and the many blessings you have bestowed on our community. You have greatly blessed us. We give you thanks for the opportunity you have given us to serve our city. We also give you thanks for our staff and other employees that do such a fine job in support of City Council as they serve our citizens. We thank you for our citizens who are with us this evening and all of our citizen volunteers who give so willingly of their time and talents to serve our city in so many different ways, helping to make it the best it can be now and as we look to the future. Dear Lord, this evening we ask that you would be with us as we discuss the issues before us and give us the guidance and wisdom we need to make the decisions that are the best interest of our citizens, and that will enhance our community now and for many years to come. For it's in your name we pray and give you the honor and the glory. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Council, are there any deletions or additions necessary for the agenda tonight?
Mr. Mayor, the only thing I'd say, you made some good suggestions on how the council attendees need to, too. I think it would be good maybe by the next meeting if we could go ahead and have a draft of that or revise this. I think we need to do that just for the reasons you said. So it's not a, so I just say for the next meeting we do that.
Right, absolutely. And I know Sarah's working and several people are working on it, and we can certainly have a draft for that. And also, while we're talking about this again, we never know that we'll have the same group. We probably won't have the same group. So council will be thinking about whether or not I'd need to mention this, if this is good enough or whatever we have. I'll mention it several times as we go forward. Okay? We can talk about what we want to do.
Thank you.
There. Certainly. Okay. First item of business is the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the work session of February 3rd and regular meeting of February 9th, 2015. Mr. LeDuc, please. I'm sorry. So do we have a motion?
So move, Mr. Mayor.
And a second? Do we have a second? Okay. Roger didn't know what to do. Okay. Show of hands. Any discussion first? Show of hands, please. Okay, passes unanimously. Item two is presentation of the Silver Palmetto Award by Mr. Ralph Courtney, the Fire Development Center. You want to say that? And I see Ralph, would you meet me down there?
Yeah, I better take that with me.
Before I forget it.
Did you say
the information?
How are you, sir?
Just fine.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see all your friends, too, and the good folks that work with you. Let's see. Where is the
proclamation?
Just a minute.
Excellent.
That's what I was looking for. The main thing here, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Well, just for all the council members, I wanted you to know that each year the South Carolina Commission on Disabilities and Special Needs recognizes one city's exemplary support of services for individuals with disabilities and special needs and in the prevention of disabilities. And it was great pleasure this year that Tri-Development Center and the Aiken County Board of Disabilities nominated, you guessed it, the City of Aiken. And this year the City of Aiken was awarded this Silver Palmetto Award at a meeting of the Municipal Association of South Carolina. And while we've been partners with the City of Aiken for many years and have worked on many projects, over the past year the City of Aiken chose to again expand its provision of work opportunities to the individuals we serve. And I did, if there's time, want to go over some of the ways that the city has worked with us over the past year. First of all, it's provided numerous work opportunities. The city contracted with Tri-Development Center for the periodic cleaning of homes in Aiken that the city has renovated and offered to low-income households for sale. We go in and clean those up, make sure they're very presentable because we know that's what the city wants. Our agency's janitorial mobile service work crews also clean the city's public works, engineering, and water and sewage offices. Our work with the Public Works Division has been going on for over 20 years. These opportunities provide limited work for 25 individuals, of whom three work at or above minimum wage, with the average wage for the rest of the workers being $3.69 per hour. It's based on their productivity. TDC's ground maintenance services are used by the city for the upkeep of the Stony Gallman apartment complex operated by the Housing Authority of the City of Aiken. Services are provided Monday each week, and 20 of our workers over the past year have participated in this contract, 10 of whom are paid at minimum wage or higher. So what we do is we focus on abilities. We're known as the people with disabilities, but we focus on abilities, not disabilities. And thanks to the city, the abilities of these 45 individuals are being utilized for the good of our community. Additionally, the city periodically utilizes the services of our busy bakery, and for that we're also very appreciative. In fact, we brought a little treat for you this evening as a token of our appreciation, which we have to do every so often. Glory, would you like to go around? Just a little token. But we do expect you to buy from our bakery. Okay. Anyway, I did bring with me a couple of individuals who directly benefit from these work opportunities. Roy is one of them, as is William Jackson. William, would you stand? He also works on some of our projects with the City of Aiken. They should be very proud of the work that they do. We're also proud of the work they do, and several members of our Board of Directors of Tribe Development Center and the Aiken County Board of Disabilities are also in attendance, and that's to show their appreciation. Would you please stand? The city, you know, but it's not just work opportunities. The city provided emergency assistance. A few of you probably remember that great ice storm we had a while back.
Thank you.
The city provided about 80 people we served with shelter at the Smith-Hazel facility for several days when last winter's ice storm resulted in many of the 30 homes we operate in Aiken County being without power. And this is assistance included allowing us to use the kitchen facilities, which, believe me, was a lifesaver. Additionally, the staff of the city were on hand 24 hours a day, and I never heard them complain even once. The city always helps us in our efforts to prevent disabilities as well. Once again, they participated in our walk-to-school safety programs. They utilized our child passenger safety seat instructor to the extent that finally one officer, I believe, on every shift is certified as a technician that's able to correctly install child passenger safety seats. You know, together we participated in Safe Kids Halloween trick-or-treat on Pendleton Street. And then also, your workers have helped us with our safety fairs, bicycle rodeos, child safety passenger fitting clinics, those kinds of things. But again, they've come over and visit with us and do other things such as serving as an instructional resource, talking to our people about good citizenship, talking about fire safety, talking about stranger danger and other types of community safety. For that, we're very grateful. And then finally, something a lot of people probably would leave out of this little presentation, but unlike us present in some areas of the state, our Office of Public Safety has been very responsive when SLED vets to them cases involving allegations of abuse of vulnerable adults. And this quick response from investigators benefits both victims, possibly innocent people being allegations are being made against, and as well as the agency. So the City of Aiken obviously sees us and those to whom we provide necessary supports as partners in serving our area citizens with and without disabilities. And such partners are key to our service areas discovering abilities and preventing disabilities. So again, thank you to our city's leaders and staff for helping us to increase the inclusiveness present here in our community. So this is for the work in 2014. The Silver Palmetto Award was presented to the City of Aiken for exemplary support of the people with disabilities and special needs. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for this. It was a real honor and privilege to go up 2 weeks ago or so and receive that at the Municipal Association. Thank you for your letter that you wrote on our behalf as well. And we appreciate it so much. And I said to several people when I was up there that, to me, this is probably the most important award that we could get, because it is truly helping people, especially those who need it the most. And so we thank you so much for that. And all these folks that are working and doing wonderful things for others.
And it actually includes Ms. Diggs up there.
Well, that's right.
Who does serve on one of our boards.
Uh-huh. It's my pleasure, Ralph, and I thank you for your many, many years of service. And I enjoy the board meetings. Mayor, we can take some notes from them because we start at 7 and we're usually out at 8 and we have long agendas.
Right, but that's because, and I'm sure you're the one that introduced the 5-minute limit, because that's what they
Is that what you're using?
But having served on both the Board of Disabilities and now on Tri Development, I can tell you, they never have a problem finding new board members, because they have board members that are so committed they come back again and again and again. We sort of just rotate them on and off, and we get paid every month in cookies. Every month.
About bringing some of those to council meetings.
Yes.
Okay, we've got a really nice proclamation here for Disability Awareness Month, and let me read it. Whereas more than 500,000 South Carolina residents and families are impacted by severe lifelong disabilities, including autism, traumatic brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, and intellectual and related disabilities without regard to race, culture, geography, age, sex, or economic class. Whereas people with lifelong disabilities are productive citizens, neighbors, and family members deserving of respect and of opportunities for economic self-sufficiency, independence, and personal growth. Whereas Tri-Development Center of Aiken County, Inc., the Aiken County Board of Disabilities, and the South Carolina Department of Disabilities and Special Needs work with families to provide service that promote independence and inclusion. And whereas we owe a special debt of gratitude to the caregivers who selflessly provide physical, emotional, and spiritual support to our residents with disabilities and special needs. And whereas the 2015 Observance of Disabilities Awareness Month celebrates the successful partnership between people with and without disabilities, as well as the increasing involvement of people with disabilities in education, employment, and community activities. Now therefore, I, Fred B. Cavanaugh, Mayor of the City of Aiken, South Carolina, and City Council, do hereby proclaim March 2015 as Disabilities Awareness Month in the City of Aiken, and encourage our citizens to work together to promote increased opportunities for people with disabilities, to recognize the many contributions made by people with disabilities to our community, and to honor the dedication of the caregivers who bring support and hope to their fellow citizens. Signed by all council members.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, welcome to stay.
No. Just leave the cookies.
Just leave it. Okay, old business. Item one, approval of appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees.
Yes, we have one reappointment tonight to the Energy and Environmental Committee made by Mayor Kavanaugh. And that's the only one. And then we have several that we hopefully will get some commitments for in the next meetings. So for your approval tonight is this reappointment with Dave Froth with the Energy and Environmental Committee.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Move approval, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I second.
Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Now, are there any nominations for next meeting?
I have three, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
First, I'd like to renominate Jim Archibald to the Building Code Appeals Committee. He's in the audience. Thank him for his service. I'd like to nominate Stephen Mueller to the Accommodations Tax Committee and Liz Neal to the Senior Commission.
Okay, very good. They'll be on our agenda next meeting. Item two, second reading public hearing of an ordinance authorizing a quick claim on Three Islands Colony Parkway.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance authorizing the City of Hagen to quitclaim any right, title, and interest in certain real estate located on Colony Parkway. Council heard this at the last meeting. We had an agreement with the prior owner concerning this to maintain the parkways, maintain the sign. They've done a great job. This would allow them to continue in this manner. And so council approved this on first reading at the February 9th meeting. And for council consideration, the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance authorizing the quick claim of any right, title, and interest on the Three Islands on Colony Parkway.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I so move.
Second.
Okay, discussion? If not, show of hands, please. In favor? Passes unanimously. Item three is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to sell property at 911 Mira Avenue to S&C Properties. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read its title. The ordinance is an ordinance approving the sale of 911 Mira Avenue. Council authorized us, I believe it was in December, to go ahead and sell this property. We listed it for 30 days and received a couple of proposals. Council accepted this proposal for $32,000 to maintain the home that's there, and the rest of the property would allow us to extend Christie into the public shopping center. So council can approve this ordinance on first reading at the February 9th meeting. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to sell 911 Murr Avenue to S&C Properties.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, discussion?
Just a quick question. Is there any good opportunity to update us on the status of Publix?
Met with them, in fact, today.
Oh, good.
And we had two representatives from Atlanta, one representative from out of Chicago. They had some concerns, and it was a good meeting with them. We thought that they owned the entire shopping center out there, and there actually is two owners out there. So we may have to deal with a second one now. They are looking at our proposal. Their major concern is how do we restrict traffic from going behind Publix, which is a loading-unloading area. So we gave them some thoughts on it, how the pavement, because essentially this is going to become a road, like Facebook became a road through Hitchcock Plaza. They have a number of thoughts that are taken back to their folks back in Chicago, and they're going to get back to us. Meanwhile, we're looking at do we need the other property or not. One thought we had is the vast majority of the traffic that's going to go into the center is going to be entering into Publix, and especially during the day, very few are probably going to exit out of Publix because it's almost impossible to turn left from Christie onto Doherty Road.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need two ways? Does it need to be just, could it just be one way? And we're looking at some of those situations also. But yes, it is moving forward.
Thank you.
I wouldn't assume that cars wouldn't leave by that route. I mean,
number one, a lot of people would like to avoid whiskey. And number two, people turn left onto whiskey coming out of that shopping center, not from the light, but other
places. I know what you're saying.
And so I think you'd see some demand for two-way traffic on that road at all times of the day.
I would think, now, it would appear that once we add the lane by the bowling alley, that that would enhance a right turn on the Doherty coming out of the public parking lot, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of where Philip is. I think we need to be careful making that one way, don't we?
Well, Christie would still remain two ways. It's internally, again, we're just looking at that to see could it work, would it not work. We're going to have to acquire some property from the other shopping center developer if we want this to be two-way internally.
When you say internally, can you leave the parking lot to go towards Doherty? Because that's your two-way issue?
It's that first couple hundred feet between Publix and whatever the next little strip center next to Publix is at.
The gap there.
There's a gap.
And so that gap's not wide enough for two-way, or the other guy?
No, it's not. It's very tight. It's only about 18 feet wide.
They could come.
And then there's a grass debris that we could acquire from the other owner.
Well, you can come from that road by Checkers that goes behind it. I just caution me, be careful maybe one way we're trying to relieve some traffic off of Whiskey there.
Again, I'd say that the majority of the traffic's going to go in, whether they come back out or not. Could depend on the time of the day and whether it's going to be safe or not.
It's a little surprising to me that we didn't know that there were two property owners involved. We are where we are now, but I think that would have been something that we could have easily figured out early. But we're going to have to do what we have to do. I mean, if the point of it is to relieve traffic and pressure on Whiskey, and for that matter, the intersection of Whiskey and Doherty, then I think we need to do the best we can to have two-way traffic.
Okay. Well, that road behind Publix is not marked for any kind of load. I mean, it's just like a public road. There's a lot of people that use it.
I know there is.
And, you know, if you designated something else other than an open city road, I don't understand Publix's concern. I mean,
again, we would probably, as you're leaving Christie and getting ready to go into the shopping center, there would probably be a sign saying no right turn. We'd probably put a speed hump there or a table to slow the traffic down. When we were standing there today, there was at least a half dozen cars at a fairly high rate of speed going into that area.
Are they going to a theater?
Movie theater.
So or just kind of getting around.
Yeah, you know, to drive right inside of the entrances to Publix.
A lot of people going to the cinema use that.
Okay.
All right. We need a show of hands now for approval. Passes.
Sir, I'm not voting to support this. Okay. And the reason is that I'm not stable for the minutes. We paid $120,000 for this property a year ago, and we're selling it for $32,000 is my objection. Not that I don't want us to sell it, but I think it's too low. That's my personal opinion.
And again, part of that property is still going to be used. I mean, if you look at the 120 versus 32, a portion of that, a large portion of that's going to be used for the road, which was the primary purpose of getting it.
Like I said before, can't wait to get out of the real estate business.
Yes, sir.
Item 4, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to sell property located at the intersection of Pascalis Place and Silver Bluff Road to South Carolina Department of Transportation. Mr. Duke, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to convey real property to the South Carolina Department of Transportation. They need this property to widen Silver Bluff Road. The majority of this is a driveway going into one of our facilities, and we don't need it. They're willing to give us $12,550 for a tenth of an acre, and we're recommending council to approve this. You did pass this at first reading. This is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to sell property located at the intersection of Pacalis and Place and Silver Bluff Road to the South Carolina Department of Transportation.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
I so move.
Second. Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands in favor. Passes unanimously. Under new business, first item is first reading of an ordinance to amend conditions of annexation of 6 acres on Town Creek Road. Mr. Leduca.
Yes, again, I read this by its title. An ordinance to amend ordinance number 07-12-2004. On July 12, 2004, City Council annexed this property, and one of the conditions for annexation was the road or driveway leading out of this property would align itself with the road opposite on Town Creek Road. They found out that a piece of property that they thought they had purchased was not really part of this annexation or property. They have not been able to find the owner of it. They've worked for the county for some period of time. And so they're requesting that the condition would change and that they could, there would be a slight misalignment of this driveway or road leaving this development and the one that is opposite to them on Seven Oaks Drive. So for City Council consideration, this would amend the ordinance 07-12-2004 by deleting the requirement that the one curb cut on the Town Creek Road be aligned with Seven Oaks Drive and allow the curb cut to be farther down Town Creek Road.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes, I was just curious, isn't there some laws in the state of South Carolina that you can quit claim that property or something if you can't find a deed? And obviously it's been cut off of another block if you look at the background of this.
You'd have to file a quiet title action if that was available to the person that wanted to own the property. And it's a process. It takes, you know, several months to go through. You have to assume that heirs would be involved, and you have to appoint a guardian ad litem to represent them. It's about a $3,000 to $5,000 process in order to go through that in 6 months, and no guarantee that you get the result when you get through with it. So, yes, it is possible, but it's not just as simple as doing a quitclaim deed or something like that.
I'm just curious. It just sounds awful odd that.
Yeah.
But I can see why the developer wouldn't want to spend any money on it because he could go down and chase it down and nothing would happen. So thank you.
Right.
Okay, we need a show of hands for approval here. Passes unanimously.
It's only 0.077. I mean, it's less than a tenth of an acre. It's really just a tiny little piece that somehow got messed up.
Okay, item two, approval of resolution to accept deed dedication of utilities in Deodora Plantation, Section 6. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes. We have a recommendation from our engineering and utility department that we accept the sanitary sewer and the storm sewer in this development. They've been out there, they looked at it, and they are recommending acceptance of this deed of dedication from Crow and Company in Deodora Plantation.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
My only concern is that we were not inheriting anything that with George. Everything has checked out and we're clear. Things look good.
We have certifications from the engineer record, and we've done our inspection and a bunch of work that we had.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. Item three, first reading of an ordinance amending the 2014-2015 budget to provide additional funding for the meter change-out program. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year 2014 and ending 2015. As the mayor stated, this is for the meter change-out program. We discussed this at our budget work session that we had last week. The city has accelerated the number of meters that they're replacing currently. instead of replacing at the, our goal was 5,000, we should be well over 6,000 meters during this fiscal year. Because of that, we need some additional meters, and we want to make sure that as we enter into the next year, there's enough meters to continue the process through the beginning of that fiscal year. So we are asking that we amend our budget by $410,000. The water replacement budget funds would be taken from the water and sewer depreciation account. And upon your recommendation or approval, we will have this at second reading and public hearing at the next meeting.
Okay. Very good. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Pass this. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I hate to interrupt, but we had a group of Boy Scouts that came in earlier tonight, and they've been sitting here, and we didn't recognize them, I know, because some of them are not in uniform, but it's a school night, so they were getting ready to rush out of the building, but I did want us to recognize them.
Well, thank you for this. I'm sorry. I didn't recognize you either. What troop are you from?
2013, College Park, Maryland, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay.
College Park, Maryland.
Okay. Would you like
recognition? We appreciate that. We appreciate the support we get in the community. It allows these young men and others like them to have the opportunity to give to the community. So it's a great relationship that we developed through scouting. And this is just a small portion of our group. They're working on a citizenship in the community merit badge to see how a town meeting such as this operates. And please have this opportunity.
Getting back to
recognition, we appreciate that. It's a great thing for
these
young men.
Oh, absolutely. Scouts is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Could they introduce themselves and tell us what their rank is?
Yeah.
Get a chance to speak?
I'm Kyle Bassett. I'm the leader of the 13 and 14-year-old Scouts, the varsity Scouts, as they're called. I am a first-class
Well, again, thank you for being here very much. We always enjoy when the Scouts or any group comes in and sorry, we didn't recognize you before this.
Thanks for coming.
So thank you. Thank you. Okay, where are we? I think we're at item four, approval of repurposing of CPST funds. Do we have a...
Want me to discuss this?
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Last July, we looked at what we consider CPST 2 and then CPST 3. CPST 2 was approved by the voters in 2004, and number 3 was approved by the voters in 2010. At that time, we did some consolidation of the projects, especially in the 2004 listing. It's good to review this probably every 6 months to a year, so make sure that the next city manager looks at this, because there are changes that are constantly occurring with these projects and the funding and how much money should be allocated to each one. What we have put before you is an attempt to repurpose some of these and change some of the funding. I listed it this way so we could get a discussion starter tonight, and if council so desires, then we will go ahead, and I believe, Gary, we decided to make this into an ordinance for the next meeting.
Yes.
And so tonight, let me go over what we're suggesting, and then council could decide how they would like to go ahead and if they agree with us or what changes you'd like to see. In the 2004 CPST projects, we have money listed under ballot order number 13, which is sidewalks, curb, and gutter, for the Whiskey World project. That was at one time going to install piping along Whiskey Road. We thought we could do it by just putting in the same size pipe that was already underneath the driveways currently. That's what we did on the portion from Centennial Drive back up to Pine Log Road in the mid-2000s. When we started the process, the Highway Department wanted to see some detention ponds built. They wanted to enlarge the pipes by a couple of different sizes, and it went from just a few hundreds of thousands of dollars to several millions of dollars. So at this point in time, we're not going to go ahead and continue the project as it was originally purposed, and we can either leave the funding in there, which amounts to $579,000 for other work on Whiskey Road. I know Mr. Ebner and I looked at especially the TD Bank is now vacant, and Lab Witt's property is vacant, and if we stay by the current standards we have, whatever is built there in the future would probably have to have a right turn in, right turn out. That's what we required on several other properties on Whiskey Road. Another way of looking at this would be, could there be an entrance off of this current road by the side of Crack Barrel, in between Crack Barrel and was it Kingdom Tire?
Oak Lane
Tire Kingdom.
Tire Kingdom. And if you go down Oak Lane there, and you look to the left, or looking to the north, there's a trailer park, and there's a road that goes back to the trailer park. Could we go ahead and build a secondary roadway into these properties and behind Tire Kingdom? So, I mean, money could be used for that to relieve some of the traffic off of Whiskey Road. Or if you would like, the other way would be taking this money and using it for other projects. So that's one item up for discussion. The second one was downtown streetscape. This is primarily, we're looking at making changes to the alley right outside this building. We know that the 40-some thousand dollars that we currently have available is not enough to put in the necessary landscaping and lighting and arborway structures, so we were going to add $100,000 to the Whiskey Road project to here. Or it could also come from the former landfill that originally was considered to have a recreational facility at that location, and we're now looking at just securing it and spending a couple hundred thousand dollars there and taking that money and moving it primarily to the Northside Recreation Project. Again, it could go towards the downtown streetscape if you want to keep all the money in the Whiskey Road, and then increasing the funding for the Northside Recreation. So what we have done here, and again, you could change this, and probably let's talk about this one and then we'll go to the next page. We have four changes. One is reducing the money for Whiskey Road to $200,000. One is increasing downtown streetscape by $100,000. The other one is reducing the funding for the landfill from $2.5 million down to $300,000, and increasing the funding for the Northside Recreation from approximately $2 million to $4.56 million. So, if we could, let's discuss this, and then we'll go to the next page.
In terms of the first one, why are you leaving any money in the Whiskey Road? I mean, we're not ever going to be able to do anything with that.
We do know that we have made a commitment for George's Pond to do some landscaping and to put some kind of trail around it or walking path around that. So we left some money in there for George's Pond to complete the obligation.
What are the plans for the landfill, the 300,000?
Can we finish the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
We finished the one? I don't know how council would feel about using that money for a walking trail. I mean, that's George's Pond is a major challenge for the city. Obviously, it's going to take well over $1 million, a couple $1 million to do that. I mean, that was a project that we probably should never bought George's Pond, but the fact that we did, I mean, I think it's going to be well over $1 million to drain that to the point that we can then make Whiskey Road look as a lot of citizens want it to.
We will probably have to have a pond somewhere between George's Pond and Powderhouse Road to accomplish what you're talking about. That's been our discussions with the engineering department, with the county. All the rest of the land is in the county downstream.
Well, given what you're recommending, I mean, if we were to build a walking trail, we'd only have to probably tear it up when we started to do some more work over there.
Well, right now, the contractual agreement we had with John George when we purchased the property was to do some landscaping and do some kind of a trail around it.
Well, that, yeah, but that was also based on the assumption that George's Pond was big enough to do what needed to be done. And while DOT apparently may have known about that, council certainly didn't. I mean, we can't fulfill our I don't remember that agreement, but I'm sure it's there if you bring it up. But yeah, we just can't do anything with George's Pond with a lot more money.
Let me have our city attorney look at that agreement between now and the next meeting. I believe we are obligated, but if he finds a way that we are not, I don't disagree with you.
But this item was originally for the filling in of the guts, the ditches on Whiskey Road.
That is correct.
Not mentioning George's Pond by name. I mean, it was to do that.
The idea was to put some sidewalks, curb and gutter, fill the ditches. We had some money from the state highway department that they were going to give us for this. And again, it's not near enough.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'd be interested to see what the city attorney says about our obligations under the contract, but I certainly am not inclined to, I'm one of seven, but I'm certainly not inclined to want to put a walking trail in. I can't imagine anybody going over there to walk. Okay. Thank you.
My question was about the $300,000 for the landfill. What if
he's going to ask a follow-up question?
Okay. Are you asking a follow-up question with what Dick said?
I was going to ask a question. Seems like we always run into a little problem with the trying to reorder, rename, redesignate all the CPST. Perhaps if there is a CPST 4, we should put a line item in there for emergency recovery of capital projects, something that wouldn't upset our budget, because basically, you know, we always count on money coming out of CPST, but we don't really plan on any emergency funds for emergency recovery like we have with the ice storm. And then basically just leave the money there as needed for true emergencies, and if it's not used by the time CPST-4 or whatever it's called runs out, then you can redesignate it to something more usable. But I mean, we're really just planning on a margin. There's no, I don't want to say slop, but there's no real flexibility.
You know, well, the challenge, Steve, is you're trying to say in 2010, you're trying to outline, and you're saying this really in maybe 2009, because you're going to vote on in 2010, and you're talking about things you're not going to do until 2017 or 18. It's impossible for us to know the environment. I mean, that's just the best guess.
Yeah, I understand that, but there's a lot of things you can bank on. We're going to get another ice storm probably within the last 20, or next 15, 20
years. Yeah, but that's not a capital project.
Yeah, the problem is
to recover capital items, it would be a capital project.
I'm not sure you could put that in.
What do you mean by recover? I'm not sure I understand.
Just put in the emergency funds into CPST. For recovery of, capital
projects. Repair? You mean like repair? And
repair, recover. That way we wouldn't have to go through this drill of, necessarily, would be available for the recovery of some of the capital projects.
Again, what I'd suggest is I believe that the laws governing CPST projects, the state laws, you have to be very specific as to what you're going to go ahead and list for the voters to vote on. But I'll ask Gary to just check that and see if something like that could be done. To answer the landfill question, the $300,000 that was included in there was primarily to put fencing up that where there is no fencing and to make sure that it is secured, so it's really just closed. And right now we don't feel it's as closed as it should be.
if there's any erosion, we want to make sure that if there, and I haven't been out there, so I'm speaking on second and third hand knowledge, but there might be some areas where the cover that was on the landfill has eroded, and we may need to go in there and put some cover back down on certain areas. We don't think it's going to cost $300,000, but I didn't want to bring it down too low and then not have enough money in there.
So what happens with the money that's left in case we don't use $300,000?
That's what I'm saying. 6 months to a year from now, council needs to look at this again and say, okay, we're now done with that project. There's $100,000 left over. Let's reallocate it. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Going back to the Whiskey Road sidewalk curb and gutter, there's some other areas that also tie into Whiskey that this money covers, is my understanding from not only the work we've done, but the original concept. And at this point, we need to leave the full amount of money in there, whether we use it for George's Pond or other areas. And there's some drainage issues with Lad Britt's property and TD property that drains into this same Whiskey group, if you want to say. So I think we need to leave that money in that particular line item and review it whenever we do this again in 6 months or a year. There's a ditch back there, and eventually the ditch winds up in the Whiskey Road water. So I think that we need to leave that there to help some development out if some does come to that area. So I would leave the whole 579 in there, and whether George's Pond is part of it or not, Mr. Smith can determine that.
One of the things that council has talked about for the last several months is trying to have a source of funds to encourage business development within our community. And this is one way of doing that. We have not gotten involved in having some incentives for business to come to our area. And I know I've talked to a couple of different developers for that property right now, and it's fraught with a lot of issues. One, how to get sewer to that area, how to get a secondary entrance to that area. But if we'd like to see a quality development come into that area, then again, it's kind of like what we're doing with Christie's and Publix, is how do we go ahead and make this all work? And so if we go ahead and keep the $579,000 in here and a developer comes to the city, this money could be used as an incentive to do some things on Whiskey Road or off the Whiskey Road that's going to go ahead and make the traffic situation better and safer for the residents. Do you understand what I'm saying? More or less.
We have some water issues also at Teresa and potentially at Ryan's that would fall in this category. And so that's the bottom line.
Well, the fact is it was money designated to a project that we're not going to be able to do. Mm-hmm. It's stretching it to say, well, we can't do the water project here, so let's do it over at this place or that place or what have you, but I'd be more inclined to want to use it for that purpose than not. Certainly more to use it for that purpose than to build a walking trail.
Okay, so let's, if everybody feels comfortable for the first reading, we'll keep that at 579. We will not make a change.
Let me ask about the downtown streetscape. You're putting, increasing that to $145,000.
Correct.
I thought that's about what the whole project was going to cost anyway, and we were supposed to get some help from the utilities.
The entire project, the last estimate, if I recall, George, was $1,250,000. But that most of that was for the undergrounding and for things below the surface. Half that money is going to come from SCE&G. We're supporting the other half.
This is the alley?
This is the alley.
Wow. That went up.
Okay. Now, I don't think it's going to be that amount of money. I think it's going to be much less. We have received the proposals from, I think it's five engineering firms. We're narrowing that down to three. And should have back to council sometime in March a recommendation on who we should hire to do the engineering. until we get the engineering completed, it's hard to say what the amount of money we'll be spending for that project. I believe it's going to be far less, and again, most of that's going to be below the surface. But we do know that if we're going to replace the sewer line, the water line, the storm drainage lines in the alley, that the majority of the width of the alley, down to probably 6 feet into the ground, because that's where the sanitary sewer pipe's at, the storm drainage is going to have to be somewhere in that vicinity, and the utilities for SE&G are going to have to be down in conduits below the ground. So we're going to be digging up the vast majority of that asphalt that you see out there right now. The undergrounding will pay for all that coming on up. Water and sewer will come out of another account. So the only thing that's remaining is street lights, landscaping. Are we going to go with paver bricks? Are we going to go with some kind of other surface on it? Are we going to put an arborway, a metal arborway on either end of it? Are we going to put bollards that go up and down? Are we just going to put bollards back and forth whenever we want to close it? That's where that $144,000 would come from. It's the stuff above the surface.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes?
I just want to make a statement regarding the proposed park or landfill and the decrease, and we're repurposing some of those dollars from the landfill and moving it to the Northside Regional Park. And we're leaving $300,000 to help with some future, I'm going to use it, emergencies. Rod, did you describe it as that or what?
No, it's just to finalize the closure of the landfill. Again, I don't think it's going to take all $300,000. I believe we're much less than that, probably more like $150,000 to $200,000. But I'd rather have more money in here right now than go back and say, let's come back to the landfill. Within a year, we should have that completed.
And my reason for pointing this out is we move into other areas that the voters approved on the ballot, the projects that we are to fund, that we don't look at reducing some of these other projects. We continue to reduce, and before we know it, we don't have enough to do what we plan to do, and that is a Northside facility, or whether it's other things we plan to do. There's always a need we can think of for projects to support in this community. But where we've targeted specific projects, we may not even have enough to do what we need to do with this Northside Recreational Park at the time that we get ready to build that. So that's a concern.
We're actually increasing that fund. We're taking everything away from landfill and a little more to put on the Northside Park.
That was discussed years ago in terms of both items being on the ballot, and none of us felt comfortable about building a recreation facility on a former landfill. So that was planned to repurpose the funds. It's just that Reggie wanted to formalize it some time ago in terms of saying, let's repurpose some of these funds and let's document it.
Well, I think the best case scenario that we were dealing with at that time, as I recall, is the expectation that that would be mitigated. And obviously, a lot of folks realize that would never happen. It was
right.
A pipe dream. But, I mean, that was the basis on which we put it in that category, at least,
correct.
As I recall.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have I'd like the city attorney to look at the definition of the bottom line of what we're talking about. $2 million, it says Northside Recreation. And I think that you need to look at what the voters voted on. They voted for future construction and capital improvements of a Northside Recreation Park. And as I'm not complaining about the combination of the money, but I think we're also going to purchase land out of that money.
Correct.
So that title ought to say something about, other than Northside Recreation, it ought to say something about land purchase and construction of a park. I think the title ought to be appropriate for what we're going to do.
I do think you have to be careful of
changing,
making sure that you're staying within what the ballot question said. I mean, this is what, Roger, if you correct me if I'm wrong, this is what the ballot said we were going to use this money for, the Northside Regional Recreational Park.
Right. It doesn't say if we're going to buy land, what we're going to do on the park.
I don't think Well, you can make these as specific as you want to, or it, I'm being a little careful here. I don't think you don't have to have the ability to buy the park, buy the land for the park simply because you didn't say, we're going to buy land for the North Side Regional Recreational Park, and then we're going to develop the North Side Regional Park.
I just suggest you read the, what the, was in the, on the ballot, and I think it's okay, but it specifically said construction and capital improvements, so you could do anything with it for North Side Recreational Park. Do those other words need to be there, or is that enough? And I think you just need to look at it and say yea or nay.
Yes, sir. I'll have that before you have the ordinance.
Thank you.
Well, I've got a lot of calls from people talking about this item on the agenda, and lots of them wanted to be here tonight and ask some questions, and were not able to be here. And I am requesting that we table this until the next meeting.
We're going to have make this into an ordinance, so we'll have two readings.
Okay, so that tonight won't be the first meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
It's just discussion.
So what I'm hearing on the CPST 2 is that the Whiskey Road curb and gutter will keep that money as it was, $579,801.94, that we will increase the alley by $100,000, or not the alley, the downtown streetscape, and that we will reduce the landfill recreational site from the $2,553,000 to $300,000, and that the majority of that money will go into the Northside Recreation.
Okay, that's my understanding.
Okay, on the next page is the CPST 3, and there's really only two changes, and those two changes then affect two other changes. The one change is pretty simple. We have project number 16 and number 19. One was for the public safety headquarters, the other one was for the training ground facility. So we'd like to combine those two into one project. So instead of $900,000 in one and $1.5 million in the other, project number 15 now would just be for public safety headquarters of $2.4 million. The reason for that is most of the changes at the training facility were completed a few years ago. We put a brand new classroom in there, a shooting range was in there, and other improvements. So that money, as was stated earlier, when you vote on this, you decide what you're going to do in 2009, and you don't get to the projects until 2016 or 17 or 18, things do change. So Charles, Chief, mentioned that let's combine those two projects together. So we're not really changing the dollar amount, we're just combining the two together. The major change is with Hitchcock Parkway. Hitchcock Parkway is an arts project. It's being re-ranked. It'll go to the policy committee, of which the mayor and Councilmember DeWaller sit on that policy committee. At that time in May, the re-ranking, it looks like it's going to be right near the very top of the list again, which means that they should have funding, if not immediately, within the next few years, to go ahead and to look at some widening, some intersection improvements, some other safety improvements, to put some kind of a pedestrian bike lane either on both sides or a separated pathway. So we do not need that money at this point in time for that project. We took the $3.9 million, and again, we could keep it there, but we went ahead and split it between the water system and sewer system and added, just basically divided the $3.9 million between those two projects and increased it. Now, if we find out 2 or 3 years from now that more money is needed for Hitchcock Parkway, that arts is not going to be enough, we could always repurpose again and take that money back out of the water and sewer. But there seem to be an awful lot of water and sewer projects. Council has indicated, at least to me on more than one occasion, that if we could avoid having to raise the rates, that would be a high priority. And so by putting this into these two categories, the water and sewer system, as I'm going through the budget in this next year and in future budgets, anything that lift station repairs, as we're looking at sewer lines that have been eaten up by hydrogen sulfide, water line replacements that we needed, would come out of these two funds. And we would not have to use the depreciation as much as we have had to use in the past. So those are the changes in CPST 3.
Roger, let me make sure I'm up to date here. You indicated, if I heard correctly, that it looks like the parkway is going to be at near the top of the list again. And that's quite a difference in what we thought some weeks ago.
When we had the meeting in early February, they had gone through some preliminary ranking of it, and Gerald Jefferson mentioned that the new ranking that they had looked at put Hitchcock Parkway near the top of the listing for our local arts area.
Well, what bothers me about this is if we do give up this money, and there is some state money, of course, already there, 13 mil.
That's correct.
If we give up F4, mm-hmm. then what are they going to think about that situation? Well, maybe they're not really interested anymore to do anything with the parkway and take back the 13 mil that they've got.
Well,
it seems to me, based on what you said, it looks like it could go either way. But,
with arts, they have never asked the local community to provide any funding.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean about that.
Okay.
We're the local community, and we have...
For instance, Silver Bluff Road is the next project to be completed with arts, and the city is not contributing any local funds for Silver Bluff Road.
Okay, right.
Same thing when we did Pine Log Road. I know that North Augusta is doing some projects. So when a project is done or completed under arts, arts is funding that 100%. That's the way it's been in the past. It could change in the future. Maybe arts is going to say that the local community has to come up with 10 or 20% match. But they haven't so far.
Forgive me for being latecomer to the whole Hitchcock Parkway saga, but why was it that we were fretting over putting in our share and county putting in their share if normally arts and the state and everybody else pays 100% normally?
Because when we had the SIB money and the allocation was that the county was going to put something towards it, we were going to put something towards it, that's when we were looking at widening the road to 5 lanes. It's not scheduled to be wide to 5 lanes anymore.
I understand. What you just said is that they normally do projects without looking for the community to contribute any funds to it. And so everybody had approved that project, the widening of Hitchcock Parkway, but it certainly was, everybody was certainly looking to the local community to provide funds. And if the funds came up short, the local community was going to be left holding the bag to cover the shortfall.
That was to do the entire 6 mile section.
Why was that one looking at the local community to do it when you're telling me that normally arts and the other don't normally do that? Why was that one unique?
I'm not too sure. That's the first time that the local money has ever been used for it that way. I'm not too sure how that came about with the arts and the local funding and county.
We were told that we needed to come up with $8 million.
Yeah, $8 million, sure.
Right, which is why there was some skepticism in terms of moving forward because of what was needed.
Yeah. And again, that is not typically how arts operates.
They were using SIB money on that project also.
Right.
And SIB does require matching funds, do they not?
They require some local funds be supporting this.
Yeah. I think that's where it was. If you go back and look at the SIB, it's based on local involvement and county involvement. And the city's involvement was $4 million and the county was $3.3 million.
And since that's not there, then the whole thing goes away. There's no requirement. That was not a requirement of SCDOT to put money in. That was a requirement of SIB to get a forgivable loan to do the work. And might have to get Jim Holly's the one that puts those agreements together.
Yeah, but my point is, if Arch was on board with that project and we had the other $13 million and all that, why would we need our money and SID money anyway? I mean, if Arch normally does these widening projects and we were on the list and it was a capacity-driven analysis and they had approved the project, man, forgive me if this is a dumb question, but I don't know the answer. Why would they not have been doing this project and not have the city or the county involved at all?
The Hitchcock widening was developed years ago. It languished, is in the process of going from the bottom to the top. We had two people on the council at that point in time. Maybe they can tell us why we put our money into it. I suspect it might have been as an incentive to get more money from outside sources. But we guessed years ago at how much that was going to cost, and as we got closer to the completion...
I understand what decisions we made and why we made them.
Yeah.
My question is why we were in that position in the first place.
Well, I suspect the reason why the money is there for the corridor safety improvements and not the widening is because we're spending less money on the corridor improvements than we proposed.
So you're still down the road on it.
Anyhow. And that money is already there, and they agreed to just keep that money there. The money that Arts and the SIB set aside for the Hitchcock widening, which wasn't enough, is enough for the corridor safety improvements. That's the only thing I can...
I understand. Yeah. I'm not talking about the difference between the corridor safety improvements and the widening. I'm talking about, I haven't been on council long enough to do anything to any roads, but if normally a state road gets widened with non-local money, then why are we looking at having to put non-local money into this road? I mean, why are we having to look at putting local money into this road? I mean, we were told very clearly that the county's not putting in theirs, so we got to cover them. Plus, if this thing goes over, which everybody fully expected it to do, that we'd be on the hook for everything over. And I mean, now I'm hearing that no municipalities, no local governments have to fund any of it. We were at the point where we were going to be funding more than half of it if we had to cover any shortfalls and everything else, cover the county side and all that. We'd have had $10, $11, $12 million in it by the time it was all done. And I'm just wondering why we were in that position in the very first place.
I don't know that we would have been caught at the very end on the hook for the money, given the time that the project would have started, and given what, Mayor, the Arts Council that you and Dick serve on, by the time we got around to building that road, my personal feelings is that there would have been enough money in the account to pay for everything if we had to put the $8 million or $10 million. But that's down the road. That's hindsight in terms of forecasting that. I do think that there is some disappointment with the business people in this town with the fact that we didn't move forward with this. I don't want to bring up...
Very simply, we didn't have... The money was not there. And even if we'd have phased it, we would have to say, how are we going to finish the second phase? And where are you going to get the money for the second phase?
Where
were we going to get it? $8 million.
With the allocation, I think there's $3 million every year that goes into Arts.
$3.3
million that goes into Arts every year. The project would not have started probably 3-4 years down the road.
At least.
And by the time the project began, we would have had enough, we would have had money going into that account that could have been designated.
But the cost of the project over that period of time going up to do the project.
That's the risk you take, Mayor.
I know it, but you know it's going to go. It's going to go up.
Well, the $3 million isn't a guarantee to go to the city. That's $3 million available to the area. I mean, North Augusta has projects that they want to do. We have projects we want to do. There are projects elsewhere within the sphere of influence of the Arts Subcommittee, so we don't get that $3 million automatically.
My question is very simple. If every other community in South Carolina gets a roads bill...
I didn't say that. I said Arts has not required in the past.
Okay.
This is a new... And again, I'm speaking with not the greatest knowledge because I wasn't here when that was all approved, but other communities have supported these projects with local dollars. In Arts, to my knowledge, there has not been any other projects that North Augusta's completed or Aiken's completed that we had to support with local dollars up until now. And part of that was Arts said, and this probably happened sometime in the mid to late 2000s, we have $13 million that we have allocated towards Hitchcock Parkway. As we all know, $13 million was not enough to even come close to doing all the work on Hitchcock Parkway. That's when, I guess in 2011 or 2012, SIB came along and said, hey, we could go ahead and contribute towards this, so you could do more, you could do the whole length. If we contribute and the city contributes and the county contributes, we could come up with what we believe would be enough to complete the full 6 miles. I'm sorry we're taking the scab off this wound again.
Yeah.
But again, we don't have to go ahead and move any of this money if you don't want to. There's enough money in water and sewer for a while. But we do know that we're going to move University Parkway up ahead of this because we do have the full funding for that and we were ready to move forward. It then became, if you're going to move one up, you're going to move the other one down. Do we want to keep the $4 million in this account for the possibility that Arts may come back to us, or we want to do something more than what Arts is going to do, or do we want to go ahead and repurpose it at this time?
I'd like to keep it in there.
I would, too, because I'm just concerned about the...
You can't keep it in there and do University Parkway because you're over budget. University Parkway, and you add the two together, $7 million, and that gets over the $33 million.
No, there's enough money to go ahead and do University Parkway, and still there's money left over in Hitchcock Parkway.
$4 million are left over.
No, I'm not too sure it was exactly $4 million.
Let me point out something that we do not expect. We thought we were going to, at one point, get $42 million. We think now we're probably going to get $33 million. So the bottom $9 million in the project list that you're looking at, it's just not going to be there.
Right. So,
and one of those projects is Hitchcock Woods, if we move University up.
Well, but by saying you're keeping it there, in other words, you're not spending it. And the point is, if that money doesn't show up, you can't spend it anyway. So all I'm saying is let's leave it under that line item. If the money doesn't show up, it doesn't show up. Move it out of that line item.
That's the danger of moving it up, is you're playing a game with a priority list, and what we did is submit it to the voters. This is a priority, we're going to do it. And if we take that Hitchcock Woods money and move it up, and it obviously needs to, it would be very well used in the water and sewer, but we're only going to get probably 33 mil.
I'd spend the money we've already got allocated.
No, there isn't any more.
I'd spend the money we've already got allocated to water and sewer first. I mean, we can reallocate this every 2 weeks all year, so I'd spend the money we've already got allocated first and then decide, and after we've also seen what progress is made through Arts and through DOT on the planning of the enhancements to Hitchcock Parkway. But I wouldn't go ahead and have this spent and gone, because we don't know when and what we're going to need this money for relative to Hitchcock Parkway, if we get it at all, if we can do anything at all. But I wouldn't just go ahead and blow it. Not blowing it's the wrong word.
Okay.
Not blowing it's not the right word. But I wouldn't go ahead and reallocate it yet.
What money are you talking about?
I'm talking about, I'm talking about the stuff that we're showing under item CPST 3, part of 18, move $3.9 million.
Hitchcock Parkway decreasing fund?
To decrease it to zero and take that $3.9 million and he's splitting it evenly with the water and sewer funds above it. And I'm kind of fed on this. I'd like to at least hold it in that category as long as we can till we know more about what we can and can't do, what we are and aren't going to do.
I think it could just look like that we're giving up totally on the parkway.
I think it is too.
And so they're going to lose interest, maybe.
Well, we're not giving up on the parkway. It's still a...
Well, I know it, but if we move this money...
Right. But as Roger said, this money's not factored in as far as arts is concerned.
It's what?
Mr. Mayor, I suggest we invite Mr. Holly to come and explain this to us.
Well, this is
the information I have. None of these loans and everything were ever approved. We voted on the city council, but the record copy that we have that Ms. Rideout has was not signed by SIB.
It was not.
And it, none of that paperwork ever got approved in 2011 and 2012. So that's one reason it died. And I think Mr. Holly is very familiar with it because he writes the paperwork. So if we need these questions answered, he'd be the appropriate one to do it.
I mean, all we're doing right now is giving you direction. We're not voting on anything specifically tonight anyway.
Well,
if you want to know, though, you're going to...
You know, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing.
Whether we need to direct the city manager to have him come and lay it out for us, because we've got to deal with it on the university.
Maybe in a work session environment.
Okay.
I'm not sure I understand what your concern is.
No, I'm just saying, what y'all are talking about, the money was never approved by SIB for Hitchcock Parkway. None of the legal paperwork ever got cleared.
Not this one. It's the money here.
This money here was part of that SIB agreement, okay? And the county was part of that agreement to $3.3 million, and
yes.
We were $4.0 million.
Okay.
Okay? And all of that was in the agreement that was put together by SIB, which Jim Holly wrote up. But the county never sent its documents in to agree to pay the $3.3 million, and the city never sent its in. So that loan, that SIB paper, was never signed.
No, well, that's why we went back with the changing the purpose and need.
Ricky, aren't we just talking about CPST money? We don't have any SIB money.
You need to get Mr. Hyde to explain. Well, I'm telling you, the money from SIB doesn't even count into
arts.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. It doesn't even exist. Everything we're talking about, moving that 3.9 or whatever, is actually CPST 3 money.
Well, I suggest we have Mr. Holly come for a work session.
I support that, but also I'd like for us to talk with a few of all the delegation members, too, and have a joint meeting with them. I don't think that we ever sat down with them. We speculated that they were not in support, Mr. Mayor, of the widening of the parkway based on a letter that was sent.
That's right.
But I hear different things when I talk with them one-on-one.
What's the point here? You're trying to get back into this now, or what?
No.
I mean, we're doing a lot of discussion about something that's...
I just simply wouldn't reallocate those funds right now. I mean, I don't think you need them right now. I'd leave them where they are for now. You know, I'm in agreement with you on that, Fred.
We're talking about $4 million.
To leave it right now, still just...
And at any point in time, you can move it.
Right.
Okay, so... If there is a chance that they would look at that as if, well, the city's not involved in this or never doesn't want to get involved anymore in this, they've taken away their $4 million that they have for the parkway. So that maybe that's a wild thought, but it bothers me unless we actually need this money somewhere else now. We can move it whenever we want to. So why not leave it?
I agree with you.
we could leave it by repositioning, putting University Parkway first and then Hitchcock Parkway second, knowing that we're not going to receive the full $42 million that we originally had thought we were going to receive.
Mm-hmm.
It means that Hitchcock Parkway will have $2,880,000 approximately in it.
And you figured that out by just adding to the bottom up?
Yes.
Okay. And keep in mind, there's no guarantee about University Parkway either.
Well, we have and I know you mentioned about having Jim Holly come, but we have an agreement that council has approved on University Parkway and on Doherty Road at Whiskey for CIV money. As far as what's happened with Hitchcock Parkway, that's gone. I mean, we could talk to the delegation, we could talk to Jim, but...
That's a dead issue.
That's basically a dead issue. You know, we're now looking at corridor improvements for Hitchcock Parkway, and that's what Art's working on right now.
We use some of that CIV money for other projects.
did we not?
Yeah, we increased our funding for University Parkway and for Doherty Road.
Yeah.
Sarah, have we got that back from them yet? Have they signed it? Okay. They only meet like once or twice a year. That's one of the problems, getting it signed by them. But I'll go ahead and contact Jim and see where that issue is at.
The other issue that we probably need to have in our next packet is we have continued to borrow in advance for projects that we feel need to be done ahead of getting the money. It would be, I'd love to see a list of the projects that we have funded in advance. Those that, the entire list and those that have been funded and how many are yet to be funded before we can start to go back to the priority list that the voters approved.
And if you look at the top of the page, it shows cash on hand. Every project that you have approved so far to borrow money, we paid all that back, and we have $2 million plus on hand.
Okay, that's
in the bank.
Fine.
So we'll receive again another $3 million plus in May, August. Unless we have some major expenses that come up, we should be in the positive side from this point forward.
I don't think you're going to get $3 million in May.
Yes, we get $3 million. I mean, we get one...
Yeah, 1 point something.
1 point something.
Yeah, 1.33 times four for the year.
So right now, though, we have $2,065,000 in the bank.
Okay.
So we're hoping that those projects that you approved, well, let's talk about a loan, we'll then have to go ahead and borrow that money.
So where are we on the list then? We've done Citizens Park. The next one would be building improvements on project number six.
Well, you know, if you're looking at CPST3, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the first project is the Eustis Park, Senior Youth Center.
Okay.
And that's a $3.5 million project. We have the proposals back from the architectural firms. We're narrowing that down to three, and we'll be asking a few of you to go ahead and sit in while we interview those three firms. So we should have an architect chosen and back to City Council for your approval. I'm hoping at the March 23rd meeting.
Okay.
So that project's moving right along. But again, even that, once the architectural work is done, we're not going to break ground until the end of the year.
Sure. Okay.
Mr. Grinton is got the most of the money because that's where the, you know, the sewer work is our big is the big part of that, and most of that was supposed to finish by the end of the second quarter, early third quarter this year. Is that still on schedule for that?
Because there's we've got the one project for Silver Bluff that we should be starting construction shortly, so by the third quarter of this year certainly we could expect to be there.
And then the Carlson Park is still going on?
Carlson Park is still going on. We're pushing, you know, our contract. We want to get that done by the end of July, so we have time to finish
Okay, thank you.
George, who's doing that? Who's doing that work in Carlson Park?
Sarah, are you concerned about getting him on a record?
Sarah's concerned about getting you on a record.
Come on. Same reason you can't hear us, we can't hear you.
The contractor, Mike Rogers, with and the name of his official company is just slipping my mind. He's the contractor. I'll look at my.
It's not important what the name is.
Yeah, but he's a local contractor. And he's finished Vincent Summers, and we're starting on Schroeder. We finished a part of Aldrich.
I've been getting so many calls from Crossland Park. And I drove out there Saturday and then again yesterday on summer, and it is horrendous. It is so messed up.
It's a major issue, and that's why we're trying to get it all done so that we have made arrangements, special arrangement with SED DOT in the allocation so that we can complete all of the streets that we had, you know, disrupted, that they can all be paved at the same time with our allocation of state paving this year.
They're going to be resurfaced?
Yes, all of them, all of the ones that we're talking with the sewer. We wanted to make sure that happened because some of the roads are literally crumbling. You dig a trench and you're trying to keep it this wide, and then it just falls apart. The subgrade is so poor in some areas. Some areas it's very fine. You have a nice little straight narrow cut and patch, and then other areas it just kind of keeps expanding, and we have to.
I think many of the residents. We're thinking that was it, that nothing else would be done.
It's not being done on this contract. It's not being done on this contract, but we said all along that we would coordinate our state money for roads resurfacing so that those roads would be done after the sanitary sewers were replaced, and that is what we're doing.
Is there a timeline on that?
As far as being the resurfacing, mm-hmm. It would be done by no later than the end of November because that's when the state stops doing paving for the season. And the money's allocated this year.
Any plans in the near future for the entrance?
That's the safe route to schools as far as the sidewalks and going down and doing the crossings over the over to the schools through the property that's our property, the city property, and the state school district property.
Now I was referring to the entrance across the park by Burger King.
Right, that project goes from York Street to the sidewalk on Aldrich where we completed, and then it jumps over to, because we have completed the sidewalks to those two properties.
I know half of that street. Across. The work has been done on and it looks good. And
yes, that's where we'll be matching up to. Now, that's different money for funding to complete. In fact, I had a conference call today with the state. Believe it or not, we're down to like 5 comments. We've been going back and forth, well, since before I started working for the city, this has been going on. So we're actually down to the very final amounts. Those, they want us to have everything into them by March 23rd to kind of meet their schedule, so that's our goal, to have everything wrapped up by the 23rd. At that point, then they would be able to review it, come back, say, yes, everything's good, you've got the money. And then we would try to complete the project during the summer season when, you know, school is out. Paving is also part of our allocation for our, you know, with the state contract. It's a different area, so, you know, both constructions have to be completed. They'll be two independent. We still have yet to bid. And there will be some funding challenges to do the complete project for the Safe Route to School that you may hear from me once I have firm numbers. But we are you know, working on that.
Thank you.
But we are going to, you know, all those should be, as we said, we promised when we first started the project that we would coordinate the paving and the construction work. And that should be done this year.
Because the residents were actually working on a petition. They were so upset about the condition.
The construction, you know, takes time to complete. When that's complete, we'll be repaving, so that they don't need to worry about not getting it done.
I'll let them know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, if you go back in time, this goes back, since I've been on council, this goes back 3 or 4 years ago. All this money was approved, and these grants were approved for that, and then for, you know, they didn't, nothing happened to them for 2 or 3 years. And we got close to losing some of them. And when George came on board, he picked them up and got them back in. But most of this is, other than the CPST, it's grant money. And we also said that the $95,000 for road work that's in Capital 2 would supplement what he said. And that goes back 3 years, some maybe approaching 4 years ago that all this was done. But it was voted on by council, and it's in the minutes of council. So we're coming to fruition finally.
Scott.
Thank you, George.
Well, I'll have something for council at the next meeting. Hopefully, we'll capture everything, right, Gary?
Yes, sir.
For an ordinance for you to review, and we can always make changes between first and second reading, if you so desire.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, we don't need to vote on anything on this side now. So I think we're down to number two.
Yes, we have a change order. We're going to be coming up to an item here that I'm going to talk to you about, the fact that we sometimes don't always follow our ordinances, and hopefully that's not true most of the time, but this is a good case. Anytime that there is a change in the amount of money that we have allocated for a project, or if we're not able to pay back a project, that we need to come before council with a request for a change order or request for making whatever condition that you put in there to match what currently we have as far as funding or distribution of those funds. In this particular case, we originally thought that $300,000 was going to be enough for the fencing at Citizens Park. They have found a few other items that need to be completed here, so we are asking that this change order that we currently have for the funds, again, we have $500,000 allocated in CPS3, be increased from $300,000 to $349,000. We still have $151,000 that would be left, but we're coming back to you stating that we'd like to make this change. Now, we originally had this as a loan, but as we discussed earlier, we got $2 million cash on hand, so we got plenty of money to pay for it, so we're not asking that you increase the loan since there is money on hand, but we do want to go ahead and ask council's approval to allow us to spend up to $349,000.
So this week.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Any discussion?
Seems like a staggering high amount of money for this.
Reggie moved and I seconded.
Okay. Any discussion?
My discussion coming out is only, it seems like a staggering amount of money for a fence.
Behind the dugout.
I got one quick question. Now, what is that 151, which is the balance, if you will, from what was projected?
There's 500,000.
Where's it going to go?
Well, right now, until we totally complete the project, we're not ready to repurchase that 151,000. But once that project is totally completed, and Kim Coleman says, okay, we've got all the fencing taken care of, then we'll be coming back to council at some point in time and saying we have $151,000 that's not needed here, let's repurpose it amongst some of these other projects.
But the $49,000 there, is that beyond just the fencing behind the dugouts?
There's several different spots in the outfields and dugouts and other areas that they had not originally intended didn't think about replacing at the time.
I'm going to defend the PRT and that. Just go back at least a year or 2 years ago, this all started. We've been before council before, and we're supposed to, the original plan was to change all of the fencing out because some of it's been there since 87 and rusty, and some of it was falling down. And for some reason, as time went on and changes have been made, we didn't get there, so this should get us there.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
The intent.
I hear you.
Okay.
Do we have a motion to second for approval?
We got it.
We already had that.
We got it. Okay. Show of hands, please. Passes unanimous.
Okay. The last item we have here is Councilmember Ebner and I have been discussing loans and following loans and following ordinances, and probably 95-99% of the time there's never going to need to be a change with most of the ordinances, but just like the one we had here just previously on the fence or on the meters, our intent when we
come to council with an ordinance or for the loan, there's probably not going to be a change. But in the real world, as changes are needed, for instance, on the meters, we're now asking for $410,000 more. We need to be coming back to council for approval and to make those changes. Probably the one that Reggie's brought up to me more than once is an ordinance that was passed in 2009, where council had authorized us to borrow money from utilities to pay for improvements at Carlson Park, that it was supposed to be paid back $300,000 every year. So over a five-year period of time, between 2009 and 2014, it had been paid off. Re-looking at it, and hindsight is always great when we look at these things, is in 2010, 2011, we should have come back to council and said, hey, you know what, houses are not selling like we had originally intended. We're not going to be able to pay back that $300,000. We need to change that ordinance to reflect what is actually happening in Carlson Park, and here's how we propose to pay back that loan. That's what we should have done. Obviously, that wasn't done. And so we just need to be more careful. The question is going to be, who's going to make sure that we follow these ordinances? I'm going to recommend that it's going to be falling on two individuals' hands. Number one, the city manager. That's their primary purpose, is to follow these things. But the city manager is fallible, and so we have whatever their purchasing agent is, Stewart. And so between Stewart and the city manager, they will just need to make certain that if there are changes with the ordinance because of funding situations, that we're able to bring those back to council in appropriate time and fashion.
The reason I brought that up, usually we do basically financial and operational type ordinances. And I think the ones that we do on the finances, and most of them get to be hundreds of thousands or several millions of dollars, and they spread over several years, and I think we need to be more diligent of that. And it also should be showing up in our finance department, too, in there. If we've got these loans in there, they show up in the audit every year. That's kind of how I picked the loan up. So there's actually three places. So appreciate the explanation for that. Thank you.
Any questions on that? Okay.
Mr. Mayor, before we adjourn...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a couple items, too.
Before we adjourn, I'd just like to say, sometimes if we ignore things, they'll go away, and then other times they won't. And I'm referring to the incident that happened here a few weeks ago. And, Dick, you know I love you. All my council are my family. But I've been getting a lot of calls, and everywhere I go, people run into me and ask me about the incident with the open mic. And my father was a Church of Christ minister, and my father always told us if we wronged our brother, it would brought open shame to our family or our church, then we needed to go to our brother or to the church and repent of it and ask for forgiveness. And a lot of people have been asking me, Dick, if you're going to make a public apology, and I'm not sure if you have already or not, but and this is my personal opinion. I think it's the right thing to do, but it's going to be up to you.
Mr. Mayor, we're getting into religious issues here. We're going to talk about that. I think we need to be sure we can, because the city attorney about 3 years ago told us that we were facing a lawsuit for using and talking about religion in council. So we need to be, y'all can have your discussion however you want to, but I think we need to be cautious about talking about religious items in here.
I agree with Mr. Abner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you're expecting me to say anything, I guess I'll say something. First of all, I don't appreciate the the raising of the issue. I didn't insult the public. I didn't insult anyone, quite frankly. I made a comment that many people viewed as inappropriate. It probably was inappropriate. And what I have done between me and the individual involved is between me and the individual involved, and that's all I'll say. I do have some items from the issues and answers that I'd like to raise. Item number four is a Planning Commission consideration of the five-year capital improvement programs. Is that going to be in our council packet for approval? Do we have to approve those?
We did.
We have not in the past.
I thought we had.
I thought we had.
You. Okay, when I was here, I don't remember that we did. It's the first year of the CIP is going to be in this year's budget. The rest of it's for planning purposes. So none of them, again, it's a planning document, but none of them are hard and fast until council approves each one of those items.
Okay. Item number five is I have been involved with an individual with concerns about noise in the reserve, and I'm not sure what you're saying.
That's going to court this week.
Okay. And you're dealing with the individual involved?
That is correct.
Okay. And the bicycle lanes on Hayne Avenue, I know we have to go through the formal process to get DOT, SCDOT approval to remove them. The fact that council has voted to remove them, does that permit parking on Hayne Avenue at this point?
It's still lanes down. It's still bicycle lanes down on the road.
Yeah, until that emblem's removed.
So until the emblem's removed, no, there's still no parking there?
Can one of you tell us the status of that highway permit with SCDOT as far as removing those bicycles? I know we submitted it.
Whoever tells us, would they please come up to the podium?
Maybe next time we get all the department heads to sit in the front two rows here.
They'd love it.
Are you kidding?
So we could throw things at them.
Throw things at them, maybe.
I don't have an actual update at this time. I can find that information and provide it and let you know how long we expect it to take.
Are we actually talking about removing the line or keeping the line and just...
No, we're going to remove the bicycle symbols and the arrows and then install some share the road signs.
And then those bicycle symbols will go on the outside of that line.
Yes.
The sign.
Just a minute. Are we talking about two different symbols? No. I thought we were going to remove the one that's there now and just put it out.
That is correct.
That's right.
Correct.
And how far out do you put it? Do you put it in the middle of the road?
The middle of the lane.
Well, the guidelines say the middle of the lane from the curb, midway between the curb and the stripe in the middle of the road. Mr. Lex wants to put it in the middle of the automobile lane, you know, closer to the middle of the road, but that bike tread guidelines say specifically that it should be midway between the curb and the stripe in the middle of the road.
It would be just to the left of the current stripe.
That's right. It'd be basically to the left of that stripe.
I mean, it'd be great if we could just lift that up and move it over, but that's actually what's going to happen.
The bike plan has excellent diagrams to show you exactly where they go. The last item I have, Mr. Mayor, is there's a lot going on in Columbia that we need to be aware of. Those folks apparently are playing some games with a local fund that is, quite frankly, in all honesty, could be reflected as a betrayal to the people of the counties and the cities throughout the state. They promised to provide that local fund, and they have selectively reduced it, and now they've come up with a scheme that will not restore it.
They've never provided what they originally said.
There's a couple of bills on business license taxes that would have serious impact to us. There is a bill that I don't quite understand. There's a telephone tax increase. Apparently, seems to me to be, and I need to get more information, would increase fees if you've got a landline, and not so much if you've got mobile phones, which more people have these days, but there's still a lot of us that have landlines. Mm-hmm. I just bring this up because we need to stay close to the municipal association, and where we have to, we need to deal with our local delegation. There's a Freedom of Information Act that was passed, and that was fine, but it still protected the members of the legislature, and if you believe the policy council, it set up some procedures where if you used it too much, you could be called a nuisance and so forth, and categorized that way. So we just need to stay close to the municipal association, because some of these things have a major impact on us.
But do we need to write a letter or something to our delegation members, letting them know opposition on those things?
I personally think individually.
If
we can have everybody here getting on top of some of these issues and calling all of these folks, then to me, that would be the thing to do.
Yeah. Rod, did I send you something regarding what Beaufort was doing? Beaufort, South Carolina. They have sent it to another city manager. I'm sorry.
I'm not aware of the truth.
Okay.
You know, every year there's a fight on the local accommodation or local money that comes back to us. When they passed this back in the 80s, there was supposed to be 100%. I think one or two years was 100%, and then they've been drawing down, and it's been a fight every year on trying to get even what we got the year before. Just like there was what they call dual taxation within the county, and they were giving us several hundred thousand dollars a year up until about 5 years ago, and then they've been steadily reducing that till now we have nothing. One of the concerns is fighting that every year as part of the budget. The last few years it's been on the business license also. There are two bills right now in front of the legislators. One is to cap business license at $100. Another one is just eliminate them pretty much altogether. For us, that would be somewhere between $2.2 and $2.3 million lost in the budget. And for the larger cities, we're number 13 in the state. For the 12 cities larger than us, it's even more money. So it's a major, major issue. I know that the Chamber of Commerce invited these legislators to a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and even the Chamber was not very favorable because they asked questions like, well, how's the cities and counties going to make up the money? Will that not mean that we're going to have to raise taxes? And the legislators were, well, that's up to each individual city and county how they make up this loss. But for us, it would mean a major tax increase or a major service decrease. In the past, they haven't gone very far with these bills, but every year the state meets, just like at the federal level sometimes, you just wish that they would not be in session anymore. But it's a constant fight. If you're not receiving information from the state on a weekly basis, they can email you. They have basically from the dome, giving a report on all these different issues. And we can, I think you're all receiving.
Is everybody getting that?
Yeah, it comes out. I got one today.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
They recap it once a week.
Are you getting it, Phil?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
You know it if you don't get it.
Email.
I'm not getting it.
LASC.
No, I'm not getting it.
Can you go ahead, sir, and make sure Phil gets it, since he's not?
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't the first bills that have ever been proposed to do something to the business license tax. There's a long way to go between somebody grandstanding a bill in Columbia and it actually getting passed by both houses and passed by the governor. So, I mean, I don't think we should ignore it. I think you're right, Dick. But at the same time, I don't want to suddenly, you know, be the boys that cried wolf, you know, to our state delegation on too many things too often, you know, overreact too soon maybe. You know, I don't know what will happen with this business license tax thing, but I think there's a long way to go before
it reflects a disconnect on the part of those people that are offering those bills with what we're going through. And certainly we should not go without letting our delegation know our views on it, so that if we don't, what are they left to think?
You're exactly right, Dick. I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm concerned. I think there are more this time than I've seen in a while.
Yeah. I may be sure.
The states tend to want to push more funding down to the local level, and they will keep trying and trying until we're successful. Happens every year.
Well, I mean, the funding you're talking about, that state fund thing, that's different than the business license tax thing. I think you're right about that. And I don't disagree that if they are more successful with this business license thing, I mean, you got to ask yourself, who do you want your state legislators to be accountable to? Do you want to be accountable to the municipal governments? Do you want to be accountable to those taxpayers and business owners throughout the state? And that's what they're asking themselves. So, you know, right now they're listening to those business owners and taxpayers throughout the state. You know, at some point we'll weigh in and they'll hopefully listen to us as well. But I mean, I just don't know that. How many bills are there? Three right now in the business office? Yeah, I mean,
and there's always two or three.
Anybody can write anything down on a piece of paper and call it a bill, and that doesn't make it something that's going to pass.
Okay, we're ready to adjourn.
We are.
We are, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Can we do some more?
No, that's okay.
I don't guess that would die.
That was a nice thing.